Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. David now proceeds to state his condition of mind before he himself found the delight from being delivered from the burden of his sin. He describes a man that carries the burden of his past, a burden that follows him like a man tied to a heavy bag, dragging it around everywhere. The memories of what he has done will not go away. His strength is exhausted. His heart is empty. His zeal for God is extinguished, and his joy has been lost. Like many people today, David was unwilling to confess his sin and to get right with God. That was the solution to his misery that he was unwilling to face. He did not want to deal with the past. The king attempted to conceal his wickedness in his own heart. This he refers to by the expression, "When I kept silent," or "before I confessed my sin," "before I made mention of it to God." David does not want to deal with what he had done. He did not want to talk about it, so he remained silent about the matter. David was no different than the person today who does not want to talk about heaven or hell or their need for Christ. He was no different than the person who's unwilling to get right with God when they're living in sin. Their attitude and response is, "I don't want to talk about it." The phrase "kept silence" comes from an interesting Hebrew word. It's from the word korash, which not only means to be quiet, it also means to show deafness or to turn a deaf ear or to dig in or plow. The phrase "keeping silence" paints a picture of stubbornness. It gives the idea of a picture of a person who digs in his heels like a mule and won't budge when pulled, or a person with his ears covered and refuses to listen to reason. David describes the reasoning or state of mind which is very common in the case of all. They know that they're living in sin, that they're sinners. They're unwilling to make confession of their guilt. David may have hoped that the guilt and conviction of his sin would die away in time and it would all be forgotten. He may have hoped to occupy his mind where he would not have to think about what he had done and get the matter right. But the conviction doesn't go away, does it? David was silent, but God was not. The Lord spoke to him through his conscience. His voice is so powerful that he doesn't even have to speak very loud for us to hear. In 1 Kings 19:12, it says, "And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." God was speaking to David, and God may be speaking to you. Has the Lord been dealing with you about your past? If so, get things right. If you need to get right with others, then do so. Your unwillingness to do so will leave you in the same condition as David. When we're stubborn and unwilling to repent, then our decision has devastating consequences on our life and our relationship with God. The price for stubbornness with God is more than you or I want to pay. It is costly and very expensive. Stubbornness toward God causes us to be uncommitted. Psalm 78:8. "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness, stubbornness, will cause you to be uncommitted. Stubbornness will cause you to be unfaithful in your worship of God. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Rebellion, stubbornness. It's compared to idolatry, compared to witchcraft. Why? Because we've exalted our own will above God's will and his word. What we want to do is more important than what God wants us to do. Isaiah 39:30, verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Stubbornness towards God causes us to be unfaithful, causes us to be uncommitted, causes us to be unteachable. It robs us of common sense and wisdom. Throughout my lifetime, I never cease to be amazed at the thinking or reasoning of people that are stuck in their sin. We will make every excuse imaginable. Those that are running from the Lord, basically, they have no wisdom or common sense at all. It's as if they're bent on destroying themselves, and they really don't care if they do. You can warn people, you can plead with them, but they just won't listen. They have not obeyed the voice of their teachers, nor inclined their ear to them that instructed them. Ecclesiastes 4:13, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and a foolish king who will no more be admonished. You just won't listen. You're unteachable. Unteachable, unfaithful, uncommitted, and unwilling to submit to the Lord because of your pride and your arrogance. Romans 10:3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Ignorant, stubborn, unwilling to submit to the Lord. Stubbornness towards God. Listen, brother or sister, if you are on the run right now, if you are rebelling against the Lord, it will leave you unfulfilled. God uses our own stubbornness to chasten us when we refuse to obey him. Getting our own way becomes a burden, leaving us unfulfilled, dissatisfied, and miserable. Getting your own way is not always the best thing for you. It can leave you empty and also create further problems for your life by the foolish choices that you have made. Psalm 81. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up to their own hearts, to their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. David, when he kept silent, when he dug in and turned to deaf ear concerning his sins, took a toll on him physically. You're not tired enough yet? You're not beat down enough yet? Do as the prodigal did. He came to his senses, and he turned around and he went home. David was experiencing the burden. Also, it says in the text, of a devastated body. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Spurgeon said, God does not permit his children to sin successfully. Our sinfulness will take a toll on us. Sin is like a serpent. The person that covers it is only keeping it warm so it can sting with its venom at a later time with a destructive and damaging consequence. David's bones waxed old, his strength was exhausted as his body was aging quickly from the effects of his guilt. The Hebrew word used here can be rendered, that's rendered waxed old. would properly denote decay or the wearing out of the strength by slow decay. Sin and rebellion devastate your body. David's conviction and guilt caused him to actually roar or scream within. Brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God, that conscience of yours, the Holy Spirit, they are screaming at you. Unless you've ran so long that you can't even hear them at all any longer. But I know you must hear them somewhat, for you're listening to this message today. And the Lord would say to you, come home and know the blessedness of having your transgressions forgiven. Know that your sin is covered. Know, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile. The pressure that David was under was continual, brothers and sisters. And so it is with us. So it will be with us if we want to run away from the Lord, if we want to live in sin. Either you're mortifying your sin day by day, or that sin's mortifying you. Either you're killing that remaining sin in your life, or that remaining sin is killing you. The pressure that David was under continual, day and night. It wouldn't go away. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. It just doesn't stop. Brothers and sisters, and I'm calling you brothers and sisters, I'm assuming you're a child of God. It's like the Lord loves you too much to not bring you under conviction, to not put the pressure on you. He loves you too much. He'll let you run. He'll let you run and you run. I think of the cartoon. The dog's tired. He got a chain around his neck. And he's running and running and running on the chain. And he thinks he's getting away. And all of a sudden he reaches the end of the chain or the rope. So it is with us. The Lord will let you run for a while. But the conscience is hounding you. It's bothering you. The Holy Spirit is bothering you. He ain't going to leave you alone. You can't enjoy your sin like you thought that you could. God has a way of putting the pressure on us when we're rebellious. Notice what it says in Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Paul uses the word muktarizo. It means basically to turn up the nose. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. It's saying, for whatever man sows, that he'll also reap. What's Paul mean by the word mocked? You're turning up your nose at God. You're sneering at him. You think you can outwit him. You cannot turn up your nose at God and get away with it. You may think you know more than him. You may think that you will not be outwitted. You may think that you have all the answers. But you have to admit, if you are a child of God and you are living in sin, refusing like an old mule, you got your feet dug in, you're not repenting. The psalmist said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. What a horrendous way to live, brothers and sisters. After reading Psalm 32, the first two verses, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guilt. Blessed whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man who turns unto the Lord. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Blessed. Why? If you be blessed in that manner, would you want to wallow in the big pen of sin? Let's call it what it is. Even as the prodigal son, he wound up in the pig pen. And if you are a child of God, the scripture says you are blessed. Not that you're going to be blessed, that you are blessed and your sins are forgiven you. However, if you run away from the Lord, if you run away from the Lord, you will wind up in the pig pen like the prodigal did, until he came to the end of himself, till he came to his senses, and he returned home. This text before us today, brothers and sisters, is an admonition and exhortation to all of us. If you run away from the Lord, repent right now. Your bones are waxing old. You've destroyed your life. If you haven't destroyed it totally, you're on your way to destroying it totally. It's like stop right now and turn around. That's what the word repent means. Stop. Whoever this is going out to that's on the run, stop right now. Stop right now. And come home. For there is forgiveness for you. That one I'm speaking to right now. You're probably even weeping right now. There is forgiveness for you. For blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that woman. Confess your sins, for he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.